scripture that I'll bring to your attention this morning is found in Genesis chapter 1 and the first five verses. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now this book, the Bible, is a spiritual book. It is divinely inspired. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This book is supernatural. It is God-breathed. And because it is God-breathed, it is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the divine perfection of the Word of God is to be seen in the very first sentence of Holy Writ. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That sentence in the Hebrew consists of exactly seven words. And seven, as I'm sure you're aware, is the number of perfection. It's a number we see in the creation. We have a 7-day week. There are seven planets in the solar system which are observable from our own planet, planet Earth. There are seven colours in the rainbow. There are seven notes in the musical scale. We have seven vertebrae in our necks, which apparently is the same number that a giraffe has. And so we could go on. And the number seven permeates the Holy Scriptures. It is written of the Messiah, the Anointed One, that the sevenfold Spirit shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The sevenfold Spirit. And so we read in the Revelation of the seven spirits which are before the throne. That is the throne of God. And we read of Christ as the Lamb having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The Apostle John, in his Gospel, records precisely seven miracles which the Lord Jesus Christ performed prior to his death and resurrection. And there is a sevenfold anthem of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. A sevenfold anthem of praise to the Lamb of God in heaven. Of course, there are many other sevens in this book, and it is, I believe, noteworthy that the very opening sentence of Holy Scripture contains exactly seven words in the original language. There are throughout this book these hallmarks of divine, supernatural revelation, inspiration. These are the true sayings of God. Now, the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, is the book of beginnings. The word, the Greek word Genesis, means origin. Here we have the origin of the universe and of the earth. Here is the origin of man upon the earth and of all the other creatures. Here is the origin of the Sabbath and of the 7 day week. Here is the origin of sin and death, of law and gospel. Here is the origin of the church and the origin of nations and languages, of work and of music and of the arts and so on. It is the book of generations. And many times throughout this book of Genesis we have the phrase the generation, the generations of. For example, chapter 2, verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. And in chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam. We have the generations of the sons of Noah later on in chapter 10, and so on. Here, at the beginning of the Old Testament, we have an account of the creation. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. At the beginning of the New Testament, there is another Genesis, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. That's Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. In the Greek it is Biblos Geneseos, the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ. You see, in the Lord Jesus Christ there is a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Lord Jesus Christ says in the Revelation, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the beginning of the old creation, and he is the beginning of the new creation. And as we look at the account that we have here in the first 5 verses of Genesis 1, of the beginning of the old creation, I trust with the Lord's help and blessing that we shall see that there is a correlation with the new creation. And we shall consider 5 things from this part of the inspired and infallible Word of God. Firstly, the beginning of the work. Secondly, the state of the creation. And then thirdly, the moving of the Spirit of God. Fourthly, the entrance of light. And then fifthly, the division of the light from the darkness. These shall be our headings as we proceed this morning, I trust with the Lord's help. Firstly then, let us consider the beginning of the creation, the beginning of the work. It is God who began the work of creation. And it is God who begins and finishes, of course, the work of the new creation. Creation work is God's work. It is a work that only he can do. And so it is with salvation, the new creation. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. A religion that begins with man is of the devil. That religion is of God that begins with God and ends with God. In the beginning, God. Now the word God in the Hebrew is Elohim. El means the strong one. And Elohim is the plural form of that word. The Hebrew language uses im, just as we use the letter S to form a plural. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. Now, we cannot base the doctrine of the Trinity on this one verse. But it does surely indicate a plurality of persons in the Godhead. And this is confirmed later on in the chapter, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And later on in chapter 3, after the fall of man, and verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. There is clearly a plurality of persons in the Godhead. And as the revelation of God unfolds before us in the Holy Scriptures, we see that there is a trinity of persons in the Godhead. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Creation work is a Trinitarian work. The word of the Lord is the eternal Son of the eternal Father, and the breath of his mouth is the Holy Spirit who eternally proceeds from the Father and the Son. Likewise, the work of the new creation is a Trinitarian work, as you see in Ephesians 1 and many other places in the New Testament. As with the old, so with the new. In the beginning, God created. And so the Apostle says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's a Trinitarian salvation, and God is the author of it and the finisher of it. The Lord Jesus Christ declared himself to be the beginning of the creation of God, as we mentioned earlier. Now consider for a moment who Jesus Christ is. The Jews put a question to him in John chapter 8, verse 25. "Then said they unto him, Who art thou?" What a question to put to the Lord Jesus Christ. "And they said unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." He declares to them his deity. He is that one who is from the beginning and who spoke from the beginning. He is the creator. Look at the context there in John chapter 8, at verse 19. He says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." And then verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am," the word "he" is in italics, it's not there in the original, so we can read it like this, "If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." In verse 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." He is declaring to them his deity. And he is that one who is from the beginning, and who spoke from the beginning. Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, speaks of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Christ is the creator and the sustainer of all things. Remember Psalm 33, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." 10 times it is written in Genesis chapter 1 regarding the work of creation, "And God said." 10 times. Now if 7 is the number of perfection or completion, what then is the number 10? Well, the number 10 is the number of power or potency. And so we read of the 10 horns of the beast. It speaks of the power, you see, of the beast. We read in Hebrews of Christ as upholding all things by the word of his power. He is the omnipotent word who brought all things into being in the beginning, and who upholds all things even now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Paul speaks of God who created all things by Jesus Christ. He speaks also there in Ephesians of the church as the new creation, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. As it was with the beginning of the old creation, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, so it is with the new. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Well, consider then in the second place the state of the creation when God first began His work. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now those words, without form and void, are very interesting in the Hebrew. Tohu and bohu. Now I must confess I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but you can read these things in the commentators. And we're told that these words, without form and void, are in the Hebrew tohu and bohu. And they mean literally confusion and emptiness. Confusion and emptiness. And that's how the same words are translated in Isaiah 34 verse 11. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. Now Jeremiah, in his prophecy against Jerusalem, speaks of sin as the undoing of God's work of creation. It brings the earth back again to that same state of confusion, emptiness and darkness. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22. For my people is foolish, they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. And all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by His fierce anger. Now Matthew Henry comments there in that place, the earth is almost reduced to the same condition again by the sin of man, under which the creation groans. And so we read in the Revelation. The Revelation speaks of them which destroy the earth. He says not CO2 emissions which destroy the earth. It's sin. It's sin. Man's sin destroys this earth. And are not these words in Genesis 1 verse 2 a graphic picture or illustration, as it were, of the unregenerate sinner? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Oh, the unregenerate man, he is on the earth, earthy. He's in a state of confusion and emptiness and darkness. God made man upright in the beginning, but he sinned in Adam, and sin has brought man down into the state of confusion and emptiness and darkness. And all who are born in and of Adam are in this state by nature. That's all of us here. There is every confusion in the heart of man. He understands nothing spiritually or savingly, and neither is he able to do so. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Men in a state of nature are like the inhabitants of Nineveh, that cannot discern their right hand and their left hand. They cannot discern between truth and error. They cannot discern between the truth of God and the lies of the devil. Man is in a state of confusion. And he's in a state of emptiness. He's void of all wisdom, void of understanding, empty of all good, having no hope and without God in the world. He's in darkness. All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath in his sickness. He cannot see himself, let alone God his maker. And not only is he in darkness, but he is darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness, Paul writes to the Ephesians. You were not only in darkness, but you were darkness itself. This is the state of man by nature. In his fallen, unregenerate condition, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in him, because of the blindness of their heart. And nowhere is this to be more clearly seen than in the foolish theory of evolution, which is a theory of confusion, emptiness, and darkness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. What is needed then is a new birth. You must be born again. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Well, let us consider then in the third place the moving of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the beginning of the new creation I trace back to the incarnation of the Son of God. Remember that after the fall of Adam, we read in Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, or to undo the evil which man did. It was necessary that one of the persons of the triune Jehovah to become as man, to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And yet he must become a man without sin. And how was this accomplished? Why, at the incarnation of the Son of God. The sacred, sinless human nature of Christ was to be formed in the womb of a virgin. And so it was prophesied by Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, what has this got to do with the Spirit of God? Well, it has everything to do with the Spirit of God. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Remember the words of the angel to Mary. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is the beginning of the work of the new creation. It is like the old creation, Trinitarian. The Father sent the Son. The sinless human nature of the Son was formed in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Ghost. And all the work which the Son did here upon earth was done through the Spirit. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you, he said. It was through the Spirit that he offered himself up as a sacrifice for his people's sins. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It was by the Spirit's power, as well as by his own power and that of his Father's, that he was raised again from the dead. For Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. But does not the Spirit move also upon that which is naturally in a state of confusion and emptiness and darkness? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He moves upon the hearts of those who are dead in trespasses and sins, who are in a state of confusion and emptiness and darkness. He raises them to new life in Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And there is a gracious change wrought in the heart of the elect sinner. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now consider in the fourth place the entrance of light into the creation. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was by the omnipotent word of God that light entered into the creation. And Paul refers to this when he writes to the Corinthians, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is by the omnipotent word of the living God that light enters into the benighted sinner's mind. It is by the instrumentality of the written word that the light of the gospel enters the elect sinner's heart. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Now the scripture is a two-edged sword, if I can just change the analogy slightly. We read of Christ in the Revelation, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Now what are the two edges of the word of God, the scripture of truth? Well, they are law and gospel. The Holy Spirit, as he moves upon the heart of the elect sinner, applies the law of God. He cuts to the heart, and the sinner is made to feel something of the confusion and the emptiness of his mind, the darkness of his heart. The entrance of the words of the law give light, and the understanding which before was darkened is now enlightened, so that the regenerate sinner is brought to know and to understand and to feel that he is a sinner indeed before a holy God. And that is the purpose of the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And how the elect sinner is made to cry out in the felt sense of his confusion and emptiness and darkness, for thou art the God of my strength, why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and unto thy tabernacles. The other edge of the sword is the gospel, which is revealed, in which is revealed the only saviour of guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Here is the only one that can save us from our sins, who can save us from a lost eternity and from the everlasting burnings. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The gospel reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. The gospel reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as the propitiation for our sins. And true faith, when it sees Christ, when Christ is revealed to that soul, true faith falls down before him and says, my Lord and my God. Now, have you been brought to that? Have you been brought down to fall before him as your only saviour? Have you been brought to call upon him as my Lord, my God, my Lord to serve, my God to worship? And fifthly and finally, see the division of the light from the darkness. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God has put a division between the light and the darkness from the very beginning. That division manifested itself very early in human history when Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Asks John. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain was in darkness and walked in darkness, but Abel was light in the Lord. We see the division in the book of Exodus. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And ultimately, we see the division at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was hung between two malefactors. The sinless Saviour was crucified between two dying sinners. Now he bore the sins of the one, but not of the other. How do we know who Jesus died for? How do we know which one of these two men Jesus died for? Well, one was left in his state of unbelief and continued to rail upon Christ. The other, however, was brought to himself and to the Saviour. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. He sees his own transgressions. He sees the consequences of them, that he must die. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He sees in Christ that pure, sinless human nature. This man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. Now no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Spirit of God. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Or he was granted faith and repentance. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus Christ bare that man's sins in his own body on the tree, and so that man entered paradise that very day to be with Christ forever. And the division is still being made to this very day. I believe the division is being made even this very morning. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. Paul is there speaking of his ministry and the effect of his preaching. The division of the light from the darkness is manifested by the preaching of the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is by means of the preaching of the gospel that the Lord calls his elect ransomed people out of darkness into his marvellous light. Now the old prayer book says, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning and is now, so shall it be eternally. There shall be that eternal division of the light from the darkness. We read of the heavenly Jerusalem and of the paradise of God in the book of the Revelation. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And then we read, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. But what is written of the wicked, of those who know not Christ, of those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord our God divides the light from the darkness, as he did in the beginning, as he is even now doing, so he will do eternally. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. I will conclude with an exhortation to those of you who are of the day. And it's this. Walk as children of light. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are to exhort one another, are we not? We are to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do we not see the day approaching? Do we not see the day approaching? Let us exhort one another then. Let us heed the exhortation. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. The Lord has divided us from the darkness. He will have us to be a separated people, a peculiar people. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's the exhortation. And to those who yet feel the confusion and the emptiness and the darkness within, let me just say this, it is a mark of spiritual life. The spiritually dead feel nothing. If you then feel the confusion, the emptiness and the darkness that is yet within you, then hear the word of the Lord, and may there arise light in your darkness. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant, that's Christ, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Continue to look to him, trust him, believe on his name. Though you don't feel it in your heart, though you feel the darkness within, though you feel the workings of sin within your fallen nature, yet continue to look to Jesus and to trust in him. And may God grant you that lifting up of the light of his countenance, and may he grant you that full assurance of faith. The Lord bless his word to each of our souls this morning. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen.